Books.
Well, you want to talk about different lands, invite Matt Tannenbaum around. Hey, good morning, buddy.
Hi, Joe.
How are you? Matt Tannenbaum is the proprietor of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. Every Tuesday on this program, we welcome an independent bookseller to come in and tell us the best books of the week. We've been doing this since the inception of the show. With a few exceptions, I don't think we've missed a beat, missed a week. No. And Mr. Tannenbaum has been, or Mr. Tannenbaum, as we say in the States, has been a part of it since the very beginning. He's a dear, dear friend, and we're thrilled to have him before our microphones. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Joe. Oh, boy, what a treat to be here.
I love when you're here.
It's
you
great.
Know that.
It's just... And these great books I have for the beginning of the year. I thought maybe after the season was over, I'd, you know, maybe take a nap. But
no napping for you. No napping for you.
So you know, the novelist, I want to start right in, yeah?
Yeah.
Colm Tóibín.
Oh, I love him.
Has he been on the show?
We had him on the show, not to drop names, but not only has he been on the show, but Sarah and I got to have dinner with him.
Does he have this mellifluous voice?
We could have sat there all night. Unfortunately, we had to do a show with him, which got in the way, because we would have just sat there at the bar all night talking to him. He was amazing.
Terrific. And he spent some time here up in the...
He was over in Connecticut, yeah.
Well, in this book, Mad, Bad, Dangerous to Know, he mentions doing research at the Union College Library.
Oh, that makes sense, yes.
And, for one of the chapters in the book. So Mad, Bad, Dangerous to Know, The Fathers of Wilde, Yeats, and Joyce.
Now, I have never heard of this book before. When did this come out?
I think it came out in November. Hats off to my buddy Sam, who told me he got a copy of it for Christmas. Somebody gave him a copy. I don't know where he could have gotten it. And started reading it. I picked it up, and I've been running through it. I haven't finished it all. I started with this. There's three main chapters. There's the introduction, and then three main chapters on the fathers of Oscar Wilde, W.B. Yeats, and James Joyce. W.B. Yeats. Let me start with Yeats, because I knew that Yeats's father was a painter, John B. Yeats, or though his brother is John B., also known as Jack. Maybe it's John. Yeah, John Yeats, the painter.
Do you want to read the book again?
I had never read a biography of Yeats. I didn't know that this is W.B. Yeats we're talking about.
Yes.
Right. Well, his father calls him Willie. I fell off the couch. Just Willie Yeats. And the sisters, of course, are Lily and Lolly. And the younger brother is Jack. Lily and Lolly show up, by the way, in Joyce's Ulysses, according to Tóibín. I don't remember this from my reading of Ulysses. They're the weird sisters. So all these three families, the Yeats, Wilde is earlier, Yeats and Joyce, this is a literary history of Dublin. But it's the story of what Tóibín is after. It's the story of three terrific writers and the inspiration from their fathers. What kind of inspiration? Yeats wrote these great poems, Tóibín says, about the virility of age, how you can still go on deep into your 80s, 90s, and be strong philosophically. He didn't see his father for the last 20-something years of his life. His father was living in a boarding house in New York, self-exiled, wanted to finish his self-portrait. Hmm. So Yeats draws this information, and he uses it in his poems, as well as the arguments they had about magic and fairies and all. His father didn't like all that stuff in Yeats's poems. From afar, Joyce exiled himself, of course, to Paris and Italy, and didn't see his father. Drunkard and a bully for the last 19 years of his life, but Simon Dedalus in Ulysses, or in Portrait, is John Stanislaus Joyce. So it's a marvelous book about these three writers. And Wilde, for instance, his father is completely missing in Wilde's great work, De Profundis, that he wrote from the Reading jail. But in missing, he's all there. So this is a terrific book, Mad, Bad, Dangerous to Know. I just, some reviewer I read said, I wish they would make it into an audio. You want to hear his voice. I don't know if they've done that or not.
I don't know, but it's come to be, and it's oh, this looks great. It's the Mad, Bad, Dangerous to Know.
The phrase comes from, who is it, Lady Caroline said this about Lord Byron, Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know. I don't know. Toybin doesn't. I haven't gotten to the part where he makes reference to that title. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that's just what it is.
Very philosophical. All right. Where else would you like to go, sir?
I think I want to go. I want to stay Irish.
Let's do it.
Brendan Matthews, our local boy, his author of 2 years ago his great first novel, World of Tomorrow, and we had a big party for him then. We're going to have another party for him in a few weeks for his collection, first collection of short stories, This Is Not a Love Song. Have you read, you have an advanced copy of this book,
yeah,
yes?
Yeah, it's great.
And it's...
it's terrific.
My favorite story is the last one. My last, entitled My Last Attempt to Explain to You What Happened with the Lion Tamer. You know, when I first met Brendan, that was the story he read here at the bookstore in Lenox, and I might have been listening to some of it. I might have been paying attention to something else. When I read it fully for the first time a couple of months ago, when I got this copy, it just blew my socks off. The other story that I love is called The Drive, about parents and babysitters, and it's of course I can picture this scene of parents, babysitters, children in our hometown of Lenox. And so there's a little extra special, but it's wry, it's delightful, it's so honest and true. In some of the other stories, he employs the same device, I don't know how he does it, Joe, between there's a character and there's something haunting him. There's something going to gain on him. There's something behind him. You know it. He feels it or she feels it. And you know it's there's that one sentence that tricks, that gives you this suspense, that this dark shadow over your shoulder. And you read the whole story, then you go back and you look for that one sentence. It's not there.
Mm.
He's put it in between the sentences, this magic.
It's beautiful stuff. He teaches at Simon's Rock.
At Simon's Rock,
and yeah. It's great. He'll be on our program as well, and we always love talking to him. But it's a debut collection after the first novel, and we're thrilled.
So it's not quite out. It's coming out February 5th. We're having him on the 8th. We might be getting copies earlier. I assume we're going to get copies earlier.
Well, that's great. I let me just quickly say, if in case you needed more evidence that this show is just incredibly powerful.
Yes.
I just got a note from Lisa, who is with Simon & Schuster Audio, to tell us that the Column to Bean book is indeed an audio read by the author.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank
you.
Thank you, Joe.
There you go.
Now I have something to do when I get back
to
the shop.
They're listening to you, man. They're listening to you.
Hi, kids.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, do we have anybody from Random House listening in?
See, these reps, they travel, and they have us out of the car.
Well,
this is
the brand-new Alan Bradley Flavia Deluce novel, The Golden Tresses of the Dead.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Alan Bradley is an American writer. Don't know much about him. I've been selling his books now. This Flavia, or I think the correct pronunciation might be Flavia, but I like Flavia.
When did this come out?
This is published today.
Oh, really?
Published today.
This looks like it's been in the window. A little faded.
It might have been on the dash as I was driving over.
Okay, all right.
Flavia Deluce starts off in the series as an 11-year-old detective. I think by this time, this is maybe the 10th or 12th or 14th book in the series. I think she's 13. Read the opening paragraph, if you would.
I'd like to remark at the outset that I'm a girl with a better than an average brain, just as some people are given the gift of a singular and often quite remarkable talent, such as Violet Cornish's uncanny ability to break wind to the tune of Joy to the World. I myself, in much the same way, have been blessed with the power of logical thinking, as Violet could easily confirm. It's something you're born with and then improve by much practice.
You know,
so that's quite a picture, doesn't it?
So this is the story of a family story. They live in this old quaint village in England, somewhere then, somewhere now. And this story is the story of begins with the story of Flavia's sister's wedding. And let me read you one paragraph from this, which is my next favorite paragraph. Yep. A church, she says, is a wonderful place for a wedding, surrounded as it is by the legions of the dead, whose listening bones bear silent witness to every promise made and broken at the altar.
Mm.
She's a little she's a little pisser, can I say that?
Yes, well, you just did, and...
And the people at Random House enjoy that, I'm sure.
You can say it, and I'm a little too gimpy to go over and press the dumb button, so go ahead.
So I just love this little girl as a detective, as a smart aleck, as someone who stares at you and will bring the truth out.
Now, we have about 3 minutes.
Oh, no. What am I up to? That's three. Oh, okay, we're good. Tom Stoppard. How often do you read plays?
I read plays all the time.
Oh, terrific.
I'm reading two plays right now.
Have you read this one, The Hard Problem?
I have not. I will admit to you, I'm not a huge Tom Stoppard fan.
Stoppard is, they say, I'm going to just bypass that comment. I'm not even going to comment on that comment. They say that this is not his best. Which,
maybe I'll like it.
Which which leads me to say that he's only 550 feet above the rest of them, not 600 feet.
All right.
So I think his way of language is terrific. And The Hard Problem is about consciousness. It's called, in science, in neuroscience, it's called The Hard Problem. If we're all just made of material, where does consciousness come from? I had a customer this weekend who said to me, at first thing he says, I'm a materialist, but where does consciousness come from? I said, there's a play called The Hard Problem. He said, The Hard Problem, that's what it's called. I said, right, there's the play, and it's called The Hard Problem. And he bought it. I have yet to hear from him, but maybe we'll hear later in the week.
It is called The Hard Problem, Tom Stoppard. All right.
Okay, and it's a play. It just closed in New York. Maybe it'll open somewhere else again. That's four books, and then... Because we're getting close to the 25th, which is Robert Burns' birthday, Burns Night. Are you going to have some haggis then?
Sure.
No, okay.
Yeah, sure.
So we just, you know, now we have a play that we're reading, and now we should be reading some Robert Burns poetry. I'm not going to try to read it because I can't do that. I can't speak like he does.
No.
And I won't.
And he can't do the audio, so.
Right.
Robert Burns, this is a beautiful collection. It's the from the Everyman's Library Pocket Poet Collection from Knopf, and gorgeous, beautiful book. Even has a little.
So Burns' birthday is February 25th, and since we're, now Burns is Scottish, let's go back across the Irish Sea. We'll get to, a week later, is Joyce's birthday, February 2nd.
All right.
So we have a lot to celebrate.
We certainly do. What are you doing at the store? Anything about you?
Well,
Brendan. Yeah.
Brendan, you know, we might be having some kind of a poetry reading in honor of one of our local people who just likes to gather and read poetry. So we might do that. We haven't decided yet. We'll let you know. I'll call you.
Thanks. Are we on the list? Good. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, you can visit them 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox. You can also visit them online, bookstoreinlenox.com. All of our segments, including this book pick list, available online, wamc.org/roundtable. Matt, I thank you so much. It's always a delight to have you here.
Joe, happy New Year.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.